Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, and my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Peggy Diamond Levy. Peggy, we've heard about your biographies and histories, but you also recently published a historical novel for young adults called Growing Up Ivy, and it won several awards too. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Tell us a little bit about how that book came about.
Well, I had a particular scene, I call it the caravan scene, in my mind for years. When I was writing my first book, I corresponded with an elderly lady in California who told me about summers that she spent as a little girl living with her father in a covered wagon, a caravan, traveling around the countryside because he was a shoe peddler. And I just thought of she enjoyed it so much. She talked about being barefoot all summer and stopping here and there and trying to sell shoes. So I had that picture in my head for years. When I started writing Growing Up Ivy, and I was writing about the Great Depression, this was the perfect place to include that story. Ivy doesn't know her father in the beginning, and then she meets him, and he's an itinerant peddler. Her whole life changes. Also, I had been for a long time talking with my in-laws about their impressions of the Great Depression because they were about 14, 15 at the time. What was life like for young people in families who were quite poor? How did they survive? Their father going out and maybe making a dollar a day cutting wood somewhere. So those stories stuck with me, and I wove them into Growing Up Ivy.
Oh, wonderful. What draws you to writing for children? Is it different from writing for adults?
I don't really think it is different. It seems to be, I think I have a 12-year-old inside me because that seems to be the age for which I want to write, where all my best stories come from. But if you're writing for children, you don't dumb anything down. It's just, they're very sophisticated, these kids today, I think. I love children. I particularly like that age, from grade 4 to grade 6, to write for them because they are the most avid readers. They haven't become jaded by life, you know, and they just gobble up books with such enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. So I think this is why I particularly like to write for that age.
You do readings in the schools too, don't you?
Yes, whenever I can.
Mm-hmm. And how do the kids react when you read?
Oh, it's usually very wonderful. It can be a win-win situation for the kids and the teachers and the author, depending on the preparation ahead of time. If those children know that there's going to be an author in the school that day, you come in there, you're just treated like a rock star. It's amazing. And if they have read your books, and maybe working on them in class or something, that's even better because they get more out of the visit. They're able to ask intelligent questions, you know, and their interest has been piqued. They're reading your work and they're dying to meet you. It's quite wonderful.
And I understand sometimes you're a little bit of an actor when you go in too. You go in costume and things like that.
Oh, yeah, I do for my historical things, yes. But I'm not an actor. But, you know, the more visual things you can take in for kids that age, the more into it they can be. And I remember one of my books, The Deep End Gang, that I did a presentation at the library in Campbellford, and I was so thrilled that there were a number of schools coming that day to hear me. And one teacher, what a wonderful man, he had the children come dressed in the costumes of the characters in the story.
Oh,
so
good.
Although I wasn't dressed up, it was just amazing, and they had put so much effort into it. And you know what? I had to guess which character they were.
That's delightful. What was one of your favorite books as a child?
Oh, probably Anne of Green Gables. I just loved all the Anne stories. That I was raised in a family of readers. My father was from England, and books were so important in our life. My dad read us the classics. And there were a lot of British authors in our house. We read everything, you know, Arthur Ransom and things like that, you know, older stories. Yes, I think the Anne books. Then, of course, I read, like all the kids were reading at the time, the series books, Nancy Drew, Cherry Ames, The Hardy Boys, those kind of stories.
Right.
Probably my all-time favorite was Little Women, because I related with Jo March she was a writer. I wanted to be a writer, and I could read that book again today.
Yeah, lots of fire in her,
oh,
too.
Oh, there was.
Well, perhaps you'd read us something from Growing Up Ivy?
I'd love to. 13-year-old Ivy Chalmers and her mother's friend Gloria found number 54 Arthur Road halfway down the street behind a picket fence. It was a two-story house, gray and narrow, looking pinched between its neighbors. After knocking at the front door and receiving no answer, Gloria led the way along an alley no wider than a wheelbarrow that ran between the houses. Except for a shed in one corner, the backyard was given over almost entirely to a vegetable garden. Someone had recently been planting in it, marking the rows with lengths of string attached to pieces of broken stick. "Let me try, Gloria," Ivy said, when no one answered Gloria's knock. But though she rapped on the wooden door till it rattled in its frame and her knuckles were sore, she had no better luck. They returned to the front porch and sat on the steps to wait, neither of them bold enough to occupy the single rocking chair that faced the street. Gloria kept checking her watch, and Ivy knew she was afraid of missing her ride. Suddenly, Ivy saw someone coming along the broken sidewalk toward them. A tall woman with a long face and an angular figure, wearing a belted black dress. A small hat sat on a head of graying hair. Ivy knew instinctively that this was her grandmother, Maud Chalmers, dressed in her Sunday best. She and Gloria got to their feet as the woman opened the gate. "What's this now?" The woman pointed an accusing finger at the battered suitcase sitting on her front porch. "And just who are you?"
"I'm Ivy Rose Chalmers, ma'am, your granddaughter, and I've come here to stay for a while."
"Are you really? And who might this be?"
Gloria stuck out a confident hand. "My name's Gloria Klein. I'm an old friend of Ivy's mother, Franny."
"Something happened to Franny?"
"No, ma'am," Ivy spoke up quickly. "My mother's an actress now, you know, and she's gone to New York City to become a star. Gloria has a letter for you from her."
Maud Chalmers looked her visitors up and down before sliding a finger under the flap of the envelope Gloria had handed her. She took out the letter, and as she read it, her frown deepened. "Well, you might as well come in," she said, refolding the letter. "I don't intend to stand out here in this heat any longer than I have to." In the small entranceway, Maud removed her hat, re-sticking it with its long pin and hanging it on a coat rack at the foot of the stairs. Without another word, the woman strode down the hall to the kitchen at the back of the house. Ivy heard her running water into a kettle, heard it scrape on the stovetop as she set it to boil. By the time she returned to usher her visitors into the living room, she was shoving her arms into an apron that covered her dress from neck to hem. "Sit there," Maud said, indicating a wooden settee. "You do realize, don't you," she said, addressing Gloria, "that I have never before laid eyes on this girl? For all I know, she could be some street urchin, looking for free room and board." Ivy sucked in a horrified breath, and Gloria shrugged. "I guess you're just going to have to trust me that she is not." "And you, miss, are a complete stranger to me. Why should I trust you?"
"Because Gloria Klein is my mother's oldest and dearest friend," Ivy said. "Besides that, she is a perfect angel."
Clamping her hands over the arms of her chair, Maud failed to hide a bitter smile. "Well, the girl sounds exactly like her mother anyway." After that, there seemed to be no further doubt about Ivy's parentage in Maud Chalmers' mind. Because Gloria had to hurry now if she wanted to catch her ride home to Toronto, there was little time for conversation. Ivy choked down the cup of strong tea that was served in the kitchen without sugar or ceremony. Walking back with Gloria to the intersection, Ivy seized hold of her hand, swinging it playfully but not wanting ever to let it go.
"Everything will be fine, Ivy," Gloria said. "I'm sure your mother would never have planned for you to live with someone who wasn't a good person."
In her heart, Ivy knew this was true. "And after a while, Ivy, you and your grandmother will learn to love each other. You'll see. Why, by the next time I come to see you..."
"Then you will come, Gloria? Please don't leave me here too long by myself."
"Of course I'll come. Just let anyone try to stop me." In spite of Ivy's fervent wish,
that the man had forgotten his promise to give Gloria a lift back to the city, the red truck appeared right on time. Ivy felt the prick of tears as she let go of Gloria's hand and watched her hop up onto the back. The driver waved an arm out the window and the truck pulled back onto the road. Gloria was sitting on the back, one arm through the side rail, her bare, freckled legs swinging. Ivy cupped her hands to her mouth. "Gloria," she shouted, "don't forget that I'm here." Ivy didn't know whether or not her mother's friend heard her, but the jaunty little salute that Gloria sent gave her the courage to turn around and head back to whatever awaited her at the house on Arthur Road.
Oh, delightful. Thank you, Peggy.
Thank you.
Where are your books available?
They're available any bookstore in, actually, worldwide. And of course, you're not going to find them all on the shelf, but they can be ordered. My publisher, Dundurn Press, also has a website, and the books can be ordered through them. Also Amazon and Indigo Books.
Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks to you, too, to our listeners for tuning in today. If you would like to contact us, write to wordonthehills@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, queries, suggestions, and we hope you'll join us again next week.